Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in. Third quarter here of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. Greg Pickle here with me. We are looking ahead to the start of the 2019 NFL Draft. Every spring, every offseason, it becomes more breathless than last. And you're grateful for the start of the draft because you're looking forward to it in a lot of cases. But you're also just looking forward to, you know, stopping all the noise. And that's mock drafts and analysis and all that. But it's also general managers and the whole smoke and mirrors show. Like, it's all a big circus act.
I enjoy it. In a way.
It is tiresome. So we're going to look at this thing from Penn State's angle. You've got some intriguing prospects here who could go any number of directions. You know, I think there's not a lot that would surprise you about Penn State's prime prospects for the draft. Your Miles Sanders, your Connor McGovern, your Imani Oruwariye. There's a pretty big range of picks where they could go. As they say, though, and I would apply this to Connor McGovern, as they say, it just takes one team to love you, and you could go much higher than people anticipate. So maybe Connor McGovern's that guy. It just takes that one team. So let me ask you this before we get into this crop of prospects. Saquon Barkley and the New York Giants, and you know, it all started last year at this time. Saquon goes number two to New York. A lot of people think they should have gone quarterback. A lot of people think it's ridiculous or silly to take a running back that high. I'm not directly in. I get it, but I'm not really in that camp. I think a transcendent talent is a transcendent talent, regardless of what position they play. I think Saquon is a transcendent talent. But just your thoughts on the state of the New York Giants franchise and the fact that, you know, if it looks like Dave Gettleman, their general manager, doesn't know what he's doing to the extent that it appears right now, there's a chance that Saquon ends up being stuck in a bad situation. They're in a rebuild, but it's almost like they're not ready to admit they're in a rebuild either.
So they want to keep Eli Manning and hope that flame will keep burning bright, or as bright as it, you know, it's significantly tarnished
bright,
at this
point.
Yeah,
bright is.
But the New York Giants don't seem interested in moving on from him. However, you just wonder if Dwayne Haskins, maybe they take him and they give Eli one more year with Haskins learning under him, and then Eli, you know, rides off into the sunset after the 2019 season. Haskins steps in, and then you have one heck of a dynamic 1-2 punch. Now, Haskins isn't going to be a runner in the NFL just like he wasn't in college, so you're not going to, but that might be just what New York wants in its offense. So, because it certainly doesn't have a runner now in Eli Manning. So, I don't think all hope is lost for Saquon Barkley. I think the Giants have a couple of pieces to work with, but the NFC East is, it's an interesting division at this point in time. You know, Washington, Philadelphia, Dallas, New York, they all have their problems, but they also all have some young talent that's interesting too. And the team that can get the pieces in place the fastest will be the one that probably runs the division for the next 5 or 6 years. So obviously Barkley is one of the division and league's best players, but is New York going to surround him with enough talent to make them one of the best teams in the division and league? That'll be the question.
Boy, that's a big question too. That's a big question. Yeah, and I think you've seen some movement there, and they picked 6 and 17. You've seen some movement towards Daniel Jones, the quarterback from Duke. The idea that maybe they can wait until 17 to get him, or the idea that they're going to have to pull the trigger earlier than 17, it'll be interesting to see. I suspect Gettleman strikes me as the guy who will take the best available defender or something at 6 and keep kicking the can down the road a little bit on the quarterback. Anyway, so let's get into the prospects here. And I want to start with Trace McSorley because, you know, he's going to be a real beauty in the eye of the beholder kind of player. I thought he threw the ball well at the combine, threw the ball well at Pro Day, proved his athleticism. I think by being able to quantify it, can't do much to change his dimensions, although he did check in above 6 feet, which is good. You're still going to have the idea out there that he's not a true quarterback, that he's going to have to change positions or whatever, somebody's going to like him because I'm sure he knocked out the interview process and he knocked out the film study type stuff on these, meetings with teams. So I think somebody's going to really like him. The question, I guess, from your vantage point, what's his future as a player? What's his upside as an NFL player?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, the whole build up to the draft can become a little bit tiring. You know, we can't endlessly hear the same things about the same guys, and then there's smoke screens that come out the week of the draft. And, you know, in the context of Trace McSorley, I just think that, that he will go, someone's going to take him, in my opinion. And I know that you could spend a couple hours, I think, Googling for 7-round mock drafts, and you're probably only going to find a couple, if any, that have him going. And I get it. He had accuracy issues as a senior, yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, you talk about your 6th and 7th round picks, Dustin, and you're hoping to hit pay dirt with somebody, whether it's a guy that can be your backup quarterback for a number of years, whether it's a guy that can contribute in a couple of different ways, kind of be the NFL version of the lion that Tommy Stevens was. You know, I mean, I think that you're all that late in the draft, you're looking for maybe a home run. And if you strike out, well, you just cut the guy and move on. So I think someone will take a shot at Trace McSorley. I could be wrong, but I think one team out there is going to be just interested enough. And look, you know, it's not like we're talking about we're paying these guys a whole lot of money. It's not like we're talking, I mean, how many, I don't have it in front of me, but I'd love to know the number of 6th and 7th round picks that end up not making the team come the fall. I have to think it's pretty high. So his role, it could be just about anything, really could.
And I think he'd be a great player to have stashed on your practice squad to get up to speed with that level of play and to develop a little bit behind the scenes. I think he's a guy who deserves a shot. I do think he will be drafted just because of the intangibles, just because of the options you might be able to have with him in the Taysom Hill category. Yeah. And he's one of the more trendy type players now. And when I see Taysom Hill, not for nothing, I think about Tommy Stevens, but a guy who can be a jack of all trades. You also have quarterbacks who have made the move full time to other positions. Julian Edelman was a guy that Trace McSorley was compared to. So there's value there. And it's not just necessarily whether he does or doesn't make it as a quarterback.
Right.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're looking ahead to the 2019 NFL Draft, and which kicks off on Thursday. We're more looking at Friday and Saturday as the bulk of, if not all, of Penn State's picks go. Trace McSorley will be an interesting one, probably a Saturday pick. Miles Sanders is one who's got – I think he's got some teams that like him out there, the teams that like him a lot. I think his film is really good. I thought his testing was very good. He's got a one-year sample size, which in this day and age, that's more of a positive than a negative, because you're not trying to get a guy who's got 1,000 carries on him before you even get your hands on him. Miles Sanders is right in that middle ground where he's got enough film, he's got enough productivity, and I think he's tested very well. I think that he was a better receiver than Penn State used him as, so I think that could work in his favor down the road. I think in a best case scenario, you're probably looking at him as maybe a mid to late 2nd round pick in a best case, and a lot of that, Greg, has to do with just how running backs are valued now.
So the thing I can't figure out about Miles Sanders is it seems like some analysts, and that means some NFL teams, love the guy and think he's going to be a 2nd round pick. And then I've seen others drop him as low as round 4. And another guy that's in that same conversation is Connor McGovern. I mean, I think those two will both go on day 2. If I had to guess, if we were, you know, betting on this, I would say that the odds favor those two both going on day 2. But the weird thing about draft projections is one trade can shake up the next 60 sure. picks. And we've seen it happen before where a team moves up, they take a guy that, you know, no one saw coming. Or conversely, that team moves down. Maybe he was going to take a guy. Instead, they move down. No, you know, the next 20 picks, no one has an interest in a running back. And then they catch that other team's new pick, and they decide, well, man, we didn't see this defensive lineman sitting here. So, you guys had us picked for Miles Sanders, 50 picks before. But now that we're down here, we don't want to go that direction. So that's what makes it really tough to project where guys are going to go with a high degree of certainty. But I think enough teams love both Miles Sanders and Connor McGovern to make them guys – both of them day 2 picks. And same goes with Imani Oriyore. But if you read Daniel Jeremiah's latest comments, I mean, he called Sanders and Oriyore Is it Sanders and Oriore or Sanders and McGovern, the two most polarizing prospects for...
I think it was Sanders and McGovern.
I think it was, but yeah, I think you're right. So those two, you know, Oriore was in that conversation as well. Yeah, but I think I think all three of them fit into the category of, again, some teams love them, some teams are unsure about it. With Oriore, I think speed is still a concern, even though he ran well at the combine. Right. For Sanders, I think a lack of top-end speed and a lack of experience is a bit of a concern. And then with McGovern, it's hard to evaluate offensive linemen. But some people seem to think he can be a pretty quick study and make an impact on the NFL roster in a short order. And some people seem to think that he's a ways away from that.
So, I mean, the also at stake here, who's the first Penn State player off the board?
Good question. So,
here's my – and it touches on a subject that you just brought up. Miles Sanders will be my pick in this category because I do think that – running back tends to, you mentioned, you know, one pick can change the next 60 picks, right? I think that at the running back position, maybe more so than the others, a run can happen where if you want your guy, if you want a guy, if you've got a cluster of guys, you know, you start to feel nervous about running backs. And that a lot of times starts to happen in the second half of the second round.
Right.
Where teams start taking running backs that they really like. And it might just take, you know, Josh Jacobs going off the board. It might just take one other guy going off the board before people are saying, like, if we want this guy, we got to go now.
Right.
And I think there's a chance that Miles Sanders benefits from that.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, 2-3 months ago, what is it, April? So yeah, 3 months ago in January when all this dust was settled about guys leaving school early and all that, I would have had probably Oriore as the guy that goes off the board first for Penn State. And I don't know if it's nothing he did wrong, but Sanders just seems to have impressed so many people between now and then after he decided to leave school early that, you know, you look at some of the, but you know, we're talking about this a little bit off the air, that some people have him as their number one running back, Pro Football Focus, number two, and then some people don't even have him in the top six. So that's where you get into this weird trajectory of where is he actually at on teams' boards. And of course, the stories are legendary about what all of these franchises do to keep that information proprietary and secret. So we'll never know until draft night. But if I had to guess at this moment in time, I would say Sanders goes off the board first, unless for some reason a bunch of running backs drop, then probably not. Then it's Oriore, but you know, we can rewind the tape next week and see. But I think Sanders is the pick.
Boy, Sharif Miller has a chance to be – I don't think he's in that second round conversation, but you're looking at, I don't know, maybe a fourth, fifth rounder for him. Somebody's going to get a guy who can rush with power and speed, who is pretty relentless in all the things that he does. He's going to be – maybe he's a specialized type role player. Maybe he's not. There's a good chance that he pays off for some team
in
the mid round.
I think that you'll see Miles, Amani, Trace go off the board, Connor McGovern off the board, Sharif Miller off the board, even Ryan Bates go off the board. Not sure about Kevin Givens.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Draft starts on Thursday. We'll be watching Thursday, Friday, Saturday to see where these guys go. One more segment to go here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Our player profile series rolls on after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.